Part 7, Chapter 1. The first trouble came from Turl. He had a hangover after his solo binge, and he had been irritated close to anger at the comings and goings and delays. At first light, Johnny began to load them as they arrived singly and in groups from their errands to their homes. The people in the meadow had not left, but had slept on the ground around fires. No one was going to miss the departure. More Scots, having missed the gathering of the clans due to distance or infirmity, had come in, and the number had doubled.
Tie that off.
Johnny began showing them how to tie down their gear in the military supply locks of the personnel freighter, and how to fasten themselves into the seats, two to a seat, and adjust the belts.
You're gonna need to be belted in.
He had gotten about six fully settled when two of them promptly got out of their seats again and started showing newcomers where to stow their gear and how to handle the belts. Some apologized for seeming to bring so little. But times had been hard, they said. It was no longer safe to raid in the lowlands. Some thought perhaps they were bringing too much, but one never knew, did one? Some were a bit late and streamed in a breathless rush, the historian worriedly checking off their names. The old women came in a clatter of kettles. The parson arrived, rolling a keg, in case someone became ill. Johnny strapped it down tightly, curious. He had never seen whiskey before. The sun was getting higher. Turl roared from the cab.
Get these filthy animals loaded!
People became very quiet. Johnny winked at them, and they relaxed and got loading going once more. Finally, they were all there, all 83 of them. Johnny said,
"This flight will take several hours. We will go very high. It will be very cold, and the air will be thin. Endure it somehow. If you feel lightheaded, it will be from lack of air, so make an effort to breathe more often. Keep yourselves tightly strapped in. This plane can turn in all directions and even upside down. I'm now going to the forward cab to help fly this thing. Remember that one day soon, many of you will also be able to fly machines, so observe things closely. Robert the Fox is in charge here. Questions?"
There wasn't one. He had made them more confident in their new environment. They seemed cheerful, not afraid.
"Take it up, McTyler,"
said Robert the Fox. Johnny waved at the crowd out of the side door, and they roared back. He slammed and locked the door. He settled himself in the co-pilot seat, wound the security belt around himself twice, put on his air mask, and got out the map. Turl was looking sourly at the crowd. With vicious, sudden gestures, Turl recompressed the cab with breathe gas and ripped off his mask. And Johnny saw his amber eyes were shot with green. Turl had been going heavy on the Kerbango. There was an evil twist to his mouth bones. He was rumbling something about late and having no leverage on these blasted animals and teach a lesson.